It's that time again. Time to wax your car? Time to play the piano? No, it's time for It's a Don Deal here on Radio Free Cybertron. I'm your host, Headmaster Don, and now here's my producer, Brian Kilby.
Hi there, Don.
Hello.
Listeners can call us at 931-99-GO-BOT. That's 931-994-6268. If you are watching the live stream right now, mute before you call. And when you hear us on the other end of the line, you're the next caller. Wait for me to ask you for your name and what in the heck you want to talk about. You can also tweet at us at TF Radio, and hopefully we'll catch it during the show, or you can mention it in our chat if you're watching live at tfradio.net/live. You can share your thought about the news, what we talked about on this week's RFC. If you're looking to buy something, I guess, which was the original idea for the show, but who knows. The floor is yours. You're going to talk about that RC statue? Or Thundercats Roar, or whatever else, give us a call, 931-994-6268. Don, back to you.
Alrighty, well, I will start something with the Donalogue. With the loss of Toys R Us, people are going to be going to other stores they normally wouldn't go to. Like, for example, Ross, Marshalls, and TJ Maxx, is a trio of stores, that are known to get Transformers from time to time. Now, in the off-season, they are very sporadic, but you know, I have found a Titans Return Optimus Prime, the first one with Dyak. I've seen Octane at one. I've seen a report of Blitzwing found at one. So I think that it'd be, you know, interesting to see what turns up at these discount retailers over the next couple of months as the Toys R Us stock is being liquidated. Because I would have to imagine stores like Ollie's and these other stores are looking at this as potential to get a lot of product into their stores. So, you know, your Power Ranger legacy items, maybe your Barbie stuff, not just at Christmas, although I think we'll see a lot of this stuff for the holidays. You know, all the plans being made up for that. So I'm just thinking it'll be interesting to see how these discount retailers that are known mostly for their holiday selections step up and might start taking a lot of this overstock that was planned for Toys R Us as far as being a viable alternative and not just, you know, November, December, and January. That's just kind of my thoughts on it because I found a lot of good stuff at these stores. But again, you have to check every couple of days or it could come and go.
Okay. Is there a certain time when are we going to do the stuff we're looking to buy? Because I definitely need help finding something when we... Rodimus Unicronus. If anyone has an extra or knows of a store that has one or, you know, I don't want to pay above retail for it, pretty much. They were clearanced out at some Walmart, so maybe someone picked up an extra one or something and can hook a brother up.
Let me ask you this, Diecast. Have you got anything you're looking to maybe trade for? You know, anything that you would, that again, people are out there looking for stuff. Have you got anything that you'd be willing to trade for it?
I have this oversized Legends Megatron that I could easily use as a trade. It's pretty terrible, but if you want a very large oversized Legends Megatron, you know, we could factor that in. That's no problem.
Caller, what's your name, or what are you calling about?
It's me, Ernest.
Hey, Ernest.
Ernest. It's just a random idea I had, but... what would Don think of new Action Masters, but based on, like, Nightbird and Autobot X of characters that can't transform?
Now, I'll be honest. I like this idea.
Yeah,
and I'm not a big Action Master person, but if you look at the quality that an action figure has undergone, the quality changes from the initial offering of Action Masters to now, and we've seen what even 3D printing can do with these Glios figures, the Max Steel RoboForce series, that, and this is just basic 3D printing, can give us some really good non-transforming action figures. I know they can do Transformers, but it's a lot more complicated on all the parts counts and stuff. But I would like to see basically it's a new version of the Mega, what was that, the Mega SFC? line that the car I did a couple years ago. SCF, thank you. I didn't buy any of those, but you know, I think especially with you've got these $300 drift non-transforming statues. Well, non-transforming figures, I should say. They're not statues. A high quality, well done Action Master representation could now do well, because at the time your Action Masters were, they're Transformers that don't transform. It just didn't fit the market at the time. It didn't fit the mindset. Yeah. But now we're used to getting these higher end figures that don't transform, or it's not this strange aberration that it was back in the day. So I think a well done line of Action Master style figures like Marvel Legends, like Star Wars Black Series, could now do well, especially in a collector's market where you would get these Nightbird, like say a 2-pack with Nightbird and RC. Say just make a 2-pack of them. Autobot X and say Lord, say make put, you know, put like, I think Lord Chumley used a robot in Prime Target or something like that, you know, just something like that. But I think it could well be done pretty well this time, and it not be this, it's not as weird now as it used to be. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the call, Ernest. That was great. So, you know, Don, so when you mentioned the Mega SCF figures, they're terrible. They are not good action figures. Now, the Revoltech figures were much better action figures, but they had terrible designs. The SCF figures had great designs, but they were terrible figures. So if we could get something that is sort of a mix of both, that would be great. So we have another caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and what are you calling about?
I'm Dinobot Maximize.
Hey, Dinobot Maximize, how are you doing?
Doing great, guys. I wanted to mention first to Diecast, man, I have a Run Machine of Cronus. If you're interested, all you got to do is check out my YouTube channel, man. But okay. I want to say mention one thing on the Transform. The Thundercats Roar.
Yeah.
I am very disappointed with that.
Why?
Man, I actually liked the reboot that they did a few years ago. I thought it was pretty good. It and the He-Man, I thought, were awesome for its time, because they did do a lot of improvements. I mean, the stories were really good. It just hit the time frame, I think, is what made them suck at that. But I'm also with Don on the Action Masters. I really would love to see a new line of those come out, but I also would like to see some good classic Pretenders or regular Pretender shells come out for all of our good Transformers from the old days.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Diamond Maximize. That's a good thing. I'm going to expand on my last thing because with what you said, you just gave me this idea. If we could find, if third parties could do a way to make Pretender shells that did not run into the same problem that Fans Project did with their Monstructors, with their Dino King shells, if they could find a way, can you imagine a line of affordable Pretender shells to match current toy offerings, like let's just say Misfire from Titans Return. You can make your Titans Return, you can make any figure you wanted a Pretender if they made a shell that it could fit into.
Wow, they could sell dozens of those.
Oh, I'm just saying, you know, it's something different. Again, it's just expanding on, you can make, you know, any character you wanted a Pretender if they could make the shell for it. It's, again, the logistics are probably out there, but you know, that way you can, instead of just getting the same core 6 or 12 Pretenders plus your Beast, then you got your Mega Pretenders and all that.
Actually, Don,
it could, again,
I love your idea. So I want to ask our next caller a question. So caller, would you be able to make a Don Pretender shell, or at least design one? You're on the air.
Did I make one?
Yes, or could you design one?
I could design one, I'm sure.
Tell us your name.
Sean.
I knew that, but which is why I asked you the question. I've got caller ID. Really want one of these now. So can a Don of the Day in the next couple of days be a Don Pretender?
I think I've done one early. Did you? On. The early ones, you probably have it in your folder.
Oh, yeah. Let me grab the folder. It's still over here.
If it wasn't in that, it was shortly thereafter. But I've done something for Denver.
No, the show folder's over there. I can't grab it. Sorry. Hey, Sean, okay. You got a question or comment?
I got a non-Transformers question.
Okay.
I've recently gotten into the Mega Block or Mega Constructs He-Man figures. I've never collected He-Man figures before, and I cannot stand Creo, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world it is about these things that attracts me so much. They're not like Legos. They're not like Creons. But they are totally awesome. And I know Chris collects them. And I like the Star Trek, but I'm trying to verbalize what it is about these mega constructs that are just different than everything else and why they're so much better.
Creativity.
I was wondering what your opinions were.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, I'll be honest. I've only bought one, and that was because someone else was trying to find that figure, so I was trying to help them out. I really haven't looked at them that much, to be honest. But I think for the price, you're getting a pretty decent little action figure. Plus, you know, you're not dropping, He-Man Classics money per figure, which is kind of nice. Plus, you're going to have people like there's a Wind Raider coming out soon as an exclusive, I think, through Entertainment Earth for that scale He-Man figures. So personally, there's nothing that they've made yet that I really want because I'm just not a big He-Man fan. I like Star Trek, but I really don't want any of the figures. Unless I do a Q figure or something, I might pick that up just for fun.
Oh, I want that.
But yeah, like Q in his robes, that would be kind of cool to have that. But I like them, and for the money, it's a nice little, just a little desk figure that you're not putting a lot of money into, and you'll be seeing more accessories. I think we'll eventually be seeing maybe little play sets that these things can work around at some point. Maybe even SDCC exclusives where you've got like a bridge crew and a small little diorama with the Enterprise D bridge. So I think they're great little figures. It's just nothing has really tripped my trigger yet, but be interesting to see where this scale goes.
Well, Don, on that note, let's jump into a buy or sell based on that. Buy or sell, Mega Bloks minifigures are the future of action figures.
I think that's going to be a buy, because with the success that we're seeing in these figures and people now doing accessories like that Wind Raider I just mentioned, a lot more people is going to jump onto this bandwagon. Plus what we've talked about in the past with Brian, what Brian has said, John has mentioned it, Aaron Archer has said it before, this making toys from oil is not sustainable forever. And this right here, basically what we're looking at is we're looking at the MicroMaster process for the toy industry. We'll be seeing a downscaling, but with the new technology, it won't be that much of a loss of articulation, which is one of the most important things a lot of people, in recent years have just said, we want well-articulated figures. People my age growing up, we had elbows and we were happy with it. So, there's a dichotomy based on when you got started collecting. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of these lines. I don't think you're going to see these lines being supplanted by this new small scale, but you're going to see this small scale stuff being more of its own thing, like for a more budget-minded collector. And then you'll still have your regular lines going forward.
Cool. I just want to see Mega Bloks like do all the everything in this scale and design level, because these are really great little action figures. I love them a lot.
Now again, if they did like a New Adventures He-Man, I'd buy that just for the sheer weirdness of it. Or like I said, Q in the Judge's robes. Or, things like that. I would cherry pick it like I do Marvel Legends, but I'd be interested to see where it goes from here.
If Q is in Judge's robes, I'd either want it to be the first figure or the last figure, or both.
Well, I mean, that could also be a... You could do maybe Q in his judge's robes from Encounter at Farpoint with season one Picard.
Things. And all good things. Don't forget all good things.
Yeah, yeah. But I was thinking more Encounter at Farpoint. That way,
with Michael you Bell, still, you still have Michael Bell's on Encounter at Farpoint.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot Grappler's about that.
Zorn.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, you know, and again, they're smaller figures, smaller sets. So I think you know, over the years, we might even see more of these as San Diego exclusives or New York Toy Fair exclusives or more stuff in the blind bags as gift bags at these trade shows.
What I want to see is a Mega Bloks Commander Riker as he appeared in the Enterprise finale. These Are the Voyages.
Bloated.
Yes.
Well, no. A Riker would have to come with a Riker, a trombone, and a chair for him to straddle. You know, yeah. That'd be the ultimate Riker set.
What other buyer sells do we have? Who's the official reader of the buyer sells?
I'll jump in. Hey, buyer sell Don. The curved Armada boxes were a literal natural disaster foisted upon all of us.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember those exactly because it was Armada, so I mostly
they were love. All that. They were the best thing ever.
Are you serious?
I love the Armada boxes so much.
We need a new producer, stat. Okay, wait, what,
Brian? Fine, I'll do it.
I love them. What?
Are you serious?
Yeah,
you're not being ironic.
No, I love them. I love Armada so much. I love the design of them. Yeah, I mean it made them hard to stack and stuff, but they were so nice looking.
And display like at the store.
Yeah.
And like not have them just naturally kind of implode upon themselves.
I'm trying to think if I still have any that are still sealed. I don't think that I do. But I don't remember. I had one recently and I don't remember it being like imploded.
They're horrendous. This is a fact. Don, next one. Buy or sell. Titans Returns actually has the most not offensive, but the worst robot art for packaging in the history of Transformers. The disembodied head of, I don't know, Fortress Maximus, I guess. A little off-putting. Anything other, and this doesn't count Beast Machines, Cheetor's mug, as like the face of Transformers for a year.
Well, I mean, I really didn't have a problem with that because it basically just told you this figure became a head for the small figures, and then the bigger figures were as it showed the interaction between the small figure and the main robot. So it was a little odd, but it actually got the point across. I will say that Power of the Primes artwork is much better because it's a more cohesive look as far as because you don't have the whole disembodied head kind of thing, but you're also that's not really the gimmick anymore, you know. So, you know, I think Power of the Primes is a lot better artwork, but I don't really have anything wrong with what happened with Titans Return.
You know what was really terrible package art? The Transformers Universe 2008 card art. Those robots were just really yes. off-putting looking.
I'm trying to remember what was an example of one.
Prowl, oh, Ironhide,
yes, Sunstreaker. Yeah, no, you're right.
Basically everything that had character art in that line.
They were lifeless, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Lifeless, over detailed. It's like someone tried to put the G1 character faces through a movie filter.
Yes, you're right.
Much like the toy design at the time.
I love the fishbowl look for alternators. Because you got to see more of the car in vehicle mode, so you could check for paint blemishes or any scratches or damages or things like that. So you could, and it made for a nicer display if you didn't want to open it. But the bot, like those curved Armada boxes, you could not display them that well because of the shape. But I will say, I think that was a great looking box design, if not very practical.
John, that's a great comment. Why don't you share it?
I just miss alt modes as the packaged mode. It's pretty boring now, frankly, kind of just to see the robots lined up on the pegs when there are robots on the pegs.
Yeah, I mean, like, originally when they were packaged in vehicle mode, when you would get it, And, you know, it's a mold that you handle for the first time. There was always that, like, sense of, maybe not mystery exactly, but a little bit of wonder as you transformed it for the first time to, you know, have that first reveal of its robot mode. Now it's just like, oh, well, there's what it looks like. Now, how do I cram this into a car shell?
Yeah, that was always the magic of, like, just the idea of, like, oh, one of these cars driving down the road, there's a robot inside it. Like, that's the mystery, instead of like, oh, there's the robot, and, you know.
Well, although with Tesla these days, that's true again.
But you lose the whole in disguise part. That's why so many reviewers start in the alt mode and then go to the robot mode, so you can see how it unfolds. Even if you've only seen a picture of the figure, seeing how it unfolds is part of the fun. But when you're packaged in robot mode, yeah, you know what you're buying, but you also know what you're getting. So it's like, eh.
So, John, your comment earlier about the Armada curved boxes is making me look on eBay to buy one. I'd like to buy a Megatron, since that's basically one of my top three favorite figures ever. I love that toy so much.
Sure,
but I like the cheapest one I see is $50, and I don't need another one. I really love Scavenger as well, and I see one for like $25. I might pick up Scavenger just to have it mint and sealed box, just so I can let you know, like, if I hate it or not.
Do you see pricing for Armada Galvatron? Because that'd be like
$50,
you know, fairly pretty to have in a box.
Oh.
$50 right now with $15 shipping is the first one I saw.
Yeah, but XV's right, though. He is mighty handsome, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was going to say, as far as, like, you know, this is Energon, but Energon Galvatron is such a beautiful figure. That's one of the few Energon toys. I mean, I sold my Wing Saber a while back, but I'm keeping my box Galvatron, because that Megatron mold in white in that box is just so plain and blah and just meh. But that mold in those Galvatron colors in that box, it just works on every single level. And I think that's important, that you got to get the right paint on the right mold and in the right packaging that makes these things, like we've seen in these books, the G1 book that shows off the artwork of the packaging. That's what makes these things, in a way, art.
Hey, Jason, did we have a question from the chat earlier?
Yeah, we've got questions. We got buys and sells. Which would you like to have?
I'll go with the question first and go to the buy and sell.
Oh, sure. All right. So, Jared Hebert, what are your expectations and hopes for War for Cybertron in 2019?
I hope they do a little more, I guess, a retelling of the G1 story, but from different points of view. Like, we see it from the Autobot point of view. We see it from the Decepticon point of view. We use this as an opportunity to make it more nuanced and also more detail on how we got to, assuming the show will eventually end with the launch of the arc. And again, that's just in my head where the show should end, because it's the War for Cybertron. But when they launched the arc, the war pretty much ended, except for these small steel skirmishes like Alita 1 with her troops and such. Because, you know, everybody was on Earth taking a dirt nap, literally. So I hope that we see, I guess what I'm wanting to see is more of an Exo Squad kind of feel for War for Cybertron, where we get all these different viewpoints and stuff to flesh out what's going on behind the scenes leading up to More Than Meets the Eye Episode 1. That's what I'm hoping that we see.
Okay, well, quick follow-up to that, because someone else actually asked the question. CatMax Gaming asked, I recently acquired a single ExoSquad toy. Is the toy line good enough to keep going and get more, or should I just tap out? Okay.
Okay, I'll say this. Personally, if you're going to get any of the ExoSquad toys, get the Exo frames, all of Able Squad, the Neo Sapiens frames as well. you could probably skip some of the non-show frames, like the fire rescue frame and a few of those, not just because they're not good, they are, but some of these auxiliary frames are kind of pricey because they weren't made in quantities compared to the regular show exo frames. So that way you could afford to get a few more figures. You'd also probably, I personally didn't care for like the jets, Kai Sakagi had an exo frame jet that really, to me, wasn't that great. It looked pretty, but it took up a lot of retail space for display and just didn't really do much for me. Marsala's exo frame is kind of is a necessity. So between those two, save the money and get the one with Marsala, because he's much more important to the story than Takagi, I think. But yeah, I would definitely make Exo Squad one of those series that if you're going to collect, cherry pick the ones you want the best because of the prices involved. Some of these frames do run a little expensive, but definitely try to get a few more just to pan out your collection.
I'm going to agree with basically everything Don said and just add that Exo Squad was one of those toy lines like the Star Trek The Next Generation line, which came at this weird point in the 90s when Playmates was making these spectacular toy lines that were so much ahead of their time for what they were. It's definitely something to go back and pick up.
Yeah, I mean, I've even tweeted this to Playmates, and I have begged them to please reissue. Don't change a thing. Keep the packaging. Again, we're looking at a lot more money per frame at this point with the amount of parts in these things. These things are massive part count figures. But I think if you paid, well, Chris, what do you think? 39. If you got JT Marsh's original frame in a nice collector's
and the reissue thing now, I think I'd be at $25 on the basic size E frames.
Yeah, so, there's that. So, I would love to see this stuff. Now, towards the end of the line, when they started adding the Robotech stuff into it, that got a little weird. But, I mean, you can even get a few of the hard-to-get Robotech pieces in the Exo Squad line. It's a very long story.
I'm sure Harmony Gold would be all over that.
Yeah, that was a weird thing for them to do. But, yeah, I would say yes. Cherry pick the line due to the prices involved, but at least get you a couple more just to fill out your collection.
Also, do your diligence because these came with a lot of small parts. So, shop around and get as complete as you can.
Well, Chris, have you seen like an Exo Squad wiki like TF Info does? Have you seen
one of those? I have not, but I also haven't gone looking for it. So,
okay.
Hey, Jason, any other questions or any other buys or sells before we go to Don's leaving money on the table?
Sure. I got one more buy or sell for you here. This one comes from Blade Raider. Don, buy or sell. Titans Return Punch, Counter Punch with two Titan Masters for the different faction modes.
I think it would depend on the mold used. I would have to see this thing, how it turned out to be a buy or sell, just because it could be really good. Or it could be really, really bad. With the amount of remolding and retooling that they've done on some of these figures, it could be done. But, like, the punch counter punch we got from the club, from a Sunstreaker sideswipe mold, that worked really well, except when you got to the head, which was not their fault. But that kind of ruins the whole figure because it just makes the figure look like he was Beetlejuiced. And if you're too young for that reference, go watch Beetlejuice. So yeah, I would like that to happen. I think it'd be an interesting use of some of the molds, but I would want to see how they did it first. I'd be more inclined to see Sunstreaker as a Titan Master with and his Titan Master be Hunter. As just an allusion to, the IDW comic, back in the day. All right. Well, I think I'm going to kind of go for a low-hanging fruit this week on leaving money on the table. But I think it's something that needs to be keep being brought up. The lack of Hasbro's Collectors Club. I think it may not be a ton of money per se, but it's a lot of fan engagement, fan feedback, interaction with people that have quite a bit of discretionary income for your product. And over almost two years since the demise of BotCon, we've gotten basically two figures in RC and Grotesque that could be considered kind of fan club stuff, but there's been no official announcement, no information. And it's like HasCon. I mean, where are we going with this? What are we going to do? What's next? What's anything? And it's really starting to bug me that, again, we all know we're not the target audience. And if you think that Hasbro's making this stuff just for you, you're not. I mean, we're getting, thanks to the movie money, we've gotten a ton of stuff we probably would not have gotten otherwise. But they're missing a key segment. With Star Wars trending down to a degree, and then having said they lost a lot of money on Star Wars recently, again, they're making a lot of money back up from the Marvel properties, obviously. But they know the fan base is out there for the BotCon level figures. They know we have money to spend. They saw us every year drop $300, $400, and $500 for Primus packages. So they know the model may need to be tweaked, but it is a sustainable model of giving us sets of figures or exclusive figures. And again, it's not a ton of money as far as compared to maybe what they might have been getting through FunPub, through BotCon, as money in general. But it's the actual fan, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it, fan interaction, building that level of trust with the fans. Like, we took your BotCon. Here's at least something in the same vein for those of you that liked that collector's experience. And we still ain't got jack. And it's time for them to step up, either say, yes, we're going to do it, and here it is, or say, no, we're not going to do it, and then we can move on to something else. And that's a done deal.
It's a Done Deal is a Radio Free Cybertron podcast production.